In 2015, Lauren Bajoric, a Penn State University senior, was studying abroad in Spain. During one of her last nights in the country, Lauren was out celebrating her 21st birthday when she ran into Manuel Blanco Vela, a local tour guide she'd previously met. But after a night of drinking, Lauren fell off Manuel's balcony and died. Authorities ruled that her death was an alcohol-fueled accident. However, in 2013, 18-year-old Gabriel Vega was in Spain as well and visited Morocco. Her tour guide was also Manuel Blanco Vela. Years later, Gabrielle publicly said that during the trip, Manuel had drugged her drink and allegedly assaulted her. Here she is in 2018, telling her story on NBC's Megyn Kelly Today.
I just am convinced that he put something in my drink. It was unreal what I was feeling. It was like I wasn't even coherent. It was like I couldn't even stand up. I had to support myself with a wall when I was walking.
Is there any doubt in your mind that he raped you?
I 100% know he raped me.
In the days following Gabrielle's media appearance, more than 30 women contacted her and her attorney, leading to more questions about Lauren Bajoric's death in 2015. Now these women's stories are the subject of the second season of Motive, a podcast from WBEZ Chicago, which premiered on Friday. I spoke with Candace Mittal-Khan, one of the producers of Motive. I asked her how they went about approaching coverage of this complicated and layered story.
One of the things that we see in stories like this is that these stories are often portrayed as he said versus she said, one person's story against another's. And so our story is really from the perspective of the women. Even in the terms and descriptions we use, we're only using terms and descriptions that the women have said. And we're telling the story of what happened to them.
And one very telling quote in sort of the introductory episode, if you will, is that it's not enough to have four or five women who come forward and report someone who's been assaulting them or is a serial rapist. It takes way more in our society than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd say that everyone wants to know a number. You know, how many allegations are there? How many said this? How many said that? And that's exactly something we take on in this series. You know, it's only once it's 30, 32, 33 that people want to listen and that the women are seen as credible and that these are taken seriously. And I think what we're saying is that every allegation is important, everyone matters, and it shouldn't be that once it's a number, then it's met this threshold that makes it something that we need to stop and listen to.
How did being young and in a foreign country further complicate the already very traumatic experience of the people you talk to?
So I'd say that the fact that these women were abroad and in a foreign country away from home, many for the very first time, you know, where they didn't speak the language, they didn't have many friends or new friends, they didn't have family, they didn't understand the, you know, justice system, they didn't understand, they were just learning basic things about the culture. I think that basically just sealed the deal that they weren't going to report to authorities. So yes, they were vulnerable and in a unique situation where they're kind of out of their comfort zone. And many of them do believe they were a target for that very reason. But before that, many of the reasons they told me about why they didn't report are the same reasons you hear time and time again about sexual assault and about why women don't speak up about sexual assault. And those reasons are, who's going to believe me? The fear that you're not going to be credible. The shame and embarrassment about what happened to you, and the self-doubt and guilt. You know, maybe this was my fault. One woman said, like, maybe this was my fault for getting myself into a stupid situation. So this is a new story because they were vulnerable, and they were particularly vulnerable in a foreign country, but it's also a decades-old story.
Given that alcohol was something that he exploited, that many of his alleged victims were drinking alcohol when they were assaulted and believe that he slipped something into their drinks. Has the presence of the influence of alcohol, from their perspective, impacted their credibility when it comes to the authorities?
I can't speak to it in terms of the authorities, but yes, the fact that they were drinking absolutely played into the questions and the self-doubt that they had the next day. If their memory was patchy, whether it was due to alcohol or whether they believed that a substance was slipped in their drink, which doesn't really matter. One of the things we learned is that alcohol is a drug, and alcohol can be considered drug-facilitated sexual assault the same way that GHB or ketamine can. Anything, any substance that can make a person vulnerable to sexual assault, the crime should be considered drug-facilitated sexual assault. So I think that, yes, many women had questions about their credibility and about their in their own memory of what happened because alcohol was involved.
What surprised you as you were reporting this series?
I think one of the things that surprised me is that, you know, there's a myth that can be perpetuated by the types of stories that we most often see in the media, that it's only powerful men, you know, Hollywood executives, sports stars, political figures, those types of men that are able to keep their victims silent. I think what we found in this story, after talking to so many women, is that the everyday guy, you know, in our story, a local tour guide, ran a small company, even without money to pay people off, even without fame or prestige, prominent connections, all of that, that kind of person has the exact same power to keep women silent.
What is currently happening with Manuel Blanco Vela? Have there been any charges brought against him?
So as of the release of the podcast, there haven't been any charges or arrests made. What we do know is that there's a public criminal investigation happening in Spain. We know that it was opened in the summer of 2018, shortly after Gabriel Vega appeared on TV. And we also know that it's likely to continue for at least another year.
Candace, what type of closure are these women looking to get if he does get charged with assault and goes to trial?
I mean, all of the women want justice. And for most of them, that means a sentence. A lot of these women want future study abroad students to be safe, and they want him to have to answer to their accusations.
Candace Mittel-Khan is a producer of the Motive podcast from WBEZ in Chicago. Candace, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.